Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, December 5th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. I wrote a little diary today about the end of life of tapes that are commonly used for backups. And now, typically you use tapes if you do need to archive data essentially forever. That's kind of one of the strengths of tapes, that they last very long. Even though, of course, disks are frequently cheaper, and now of course you have cloud-based backup solutions and such that people may use, but still tapes are in wide use. In particular, regulatory requirements require that you keep data for years and years. Well, the reason I covered this is that I came across a drum full of tapes. Someone, and I have no idea who, dumped them in an alley, about 100 or so, I would guess, of backup tapes. Now, as part of the diary, I asked what people are doing to make sure that their tapes are disposed of properly. Couple of readers wrote in that they actually watch the tapes being destroyed. Others rely on encryption. Encryption, of course, is so far nice that you need it kind of anyway if the tapes are stored off-site, out of your physical control. You know, we always have these news stories about backup tapes falling off the truck. But one comment noted that with encryption, you have to be a little bit careful because these tapes are supposed to last tens of years. And cryptanalysis really has made some amazing progress over the last decade. So if you look forward over the next 10 to 20 years, well, someone may be able to pretty easily break the encryption algorithm and key strength that you're using today to encrypt those tapes. But anyway, for more details, as usual, just take a quick look at the diary. Well, but while we're talking about digital media and data leaks, the Swiss Intelligence Service has a quite embarrassing leak to report about. An individual working for the service, a typical disgruntled employee, left the agency with what is said to be multiple terabytes of critical data. The data included counterintelligence efforts, not only by Swiss agencies, but also by the US and United Kingdom intelligence services. Now, the individual was arrested and the media were recovered. However, it is not certain whether or not the content of the media was sold or passed on to third parties. In this case, the problem is not so much technical and whether or not the data was encrypted properly, but it's more a separation of duties issue here, because the Department for Investigating Employees' Backgrounds was the information technology department for which this person worked. So really, you had one of those typical who is watching the watchers kind of issues. And DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is starting an interesting project to look at backdoors in commercial software and hardware. Well, we had this a number of times in the news. Typically, it's less malicious, but more careless, where manufacturers leave behind backdoors with hard-coded passwords in routers or printers. We just had a case with Samsung. And DARPA is obviously asking, how can we find these backdoors? And it's a very tedious process to look at all these thousands of devices that are in use, not only in military agencies, but also across the civilian government industry for these backdoors. So essentially what DARPA did is they wrote a new project where they're asking for ideas, and they're willing to fund some of these ideas to look at backdoors, or to find backdoors in a more or less automated fashion, so it can be done at the scale at which we actually need to do it. Well, and you probably heard that SMS messages are just about 20 years old this week. Turns out that there are still some very basic vulnerabilities in SMS messages that are not accounted for correctly by major websites, like Twitter. Twitter uses the originating caller ID or phone number of an SMS message to authenticate users for tweets. And that, of course, can be spoofed just like the caller ID in a normal phone call. So by spoofing the caller ID for an SMS message, an attacker would be able to not only tweet on a user's behalf, but also execute some of the account features. Twitter has been notified of this issue, and I doubt it was the first time anybody noted this problem, because there isn't really any great solution for it, which is probably why Twitter hasn't really fixed this yet. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.